Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 is where we are going to spend our time this morning. Luke chapter 8. It'd be good to have a Bible open this morning. Luke chapter 8. Has this ever happened to you? You sit down and you read your Bible, and while you're reading it, one of the verses, one of the ideas just blows your mind. You say, I needed that right now. That verse, that idea, it was so comforting for me in this moment. Or it was convicting. Or it was encouraging. I needed that right now. And then you close your Bible. Move on with the rest of your day. And life happens. And that incredible thought that you had from God's word just disappeared. To do nothing. That life-changing truth that you said, I needed that right now, is now gone. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because we know that God's word, the Bible, is His wisdom, and we strive to live by it. That's why you're here this morning. You strive to live by God's word. We want to grow in our spiritual life and stop struggling with the same temptations. But sometimes we so quickly forget the words that we read that we remain stuck. Maybe stuck in our sinful habits with our bad attitudes. And if we do this for long enough periods of time, we may begin to think, reading the Bible is not worth it. It doesn't do anything for me. Nothing has changed. Maybe we feel stagnant. Our spiritual growth has stopped. But there's a tool. There is a tool that will help you to not feel this way. This tool will place God's word deeply within your mind and in your heart. This tool will help change the parts of your life that you know need to change. This tool is like fertilizer on the seed that is God's word. This tool is meditation. And this morning we're going to learn about meditation from one of Jesus' teachings. We're going to see what it is, and then the last half of the sermon will be a very practical how to do this today, how to do this tomorrow, how to do this in my life. So read with me Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. Luke 8, 4 through 18. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for the good soil, for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. In this parable, Jesus is using seed and different types of ground to describe different types of people who hear the word and how they respond to it. Each of them hear it. And it's the same word, yet the response is drastically different. Those on the path, they reject it outright. Those who were called the thorny ground or the rocky ground, they accept it, but they eventually fall away. But the good soil hears it and ultimately bears a tremendous amount of fruit, up to 100-fold. Well, this morning, I want to look at the difference between the rocky and the thorny ground as compared to the good soil. What did those described as good soil do that the rocky and thorny ground didn't do? And after studying this text, I found that one of the differences is meditation. Not just simply reading the text and accepting it, but meditating on it. And to see this, we're going to focus our study this morning on verses 15 through 18. So that's where we're going to zoom in this morning, verses 15 through 18. But as we begin, I need to define meditation for you, both what it is and what it is not. So we'll begin by saying, what is meditation? Meditation is not sitting still with an empty mind. This is a simple point. But I am sure for most of you, when you hear the word meditation, that's the first thing that you think of, is I'm sitting maybe in a comfortable spot and I've got my mind empty. I'm just focusing on my breath. That's not what we're talking about here this morning. That type of meditation is good. It's fine. It can help calm us. It can help relieve maybe anxiety or stress. But that's not going to help you grow and bear fruit as a Christian in your walk. So that's not the type of meditation that we're talking about. The next thing that meditation is not simply reading the Bible or hearing the Word of God. I think we see this in the parable of the sower. Notice all four of these people had one thing in common. They have some multiple, but there's one thing specifically they all have in common. They all heard the word. Notice with me, verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard the word. Verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word. Verse 14. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. And verse 15, as for that in the good soil, they are those who hearing the word. They all heard the word, yet each of them responded in drastically different ways. And I think this shows that hearing or reading the word is not enough to grow or bear fruit. Intuitively, I think we all know that. I am sure you know someone in your life who is diligent about reading the Word of God, but you look at their life and you say, it doesn't look like it. I see no difference. You don't look like the Word of God at all, but they read it. Intuitively, we know that's not working for them. They're missing something. And I'll tell you, I am sure, I know I have, you have felt this in your own life as well. You spend time reading the Bible thinking, this is going to fix my problem. This is what I was missing, is reading the Bible, but then you still struggle with the same heart issues. You can maybe look back over a period of time and see zero growth in your spiritual life. But the problem is not the Bible. The problem is not God's word. It is that we're not using all the tools that God has given us. Reading the word is great. Reading the Bible is necessary. But reading is not enough. There needs to be something else. We need to do something with that word in order to grow and be fruitful. And the answer is that we need to meditate on the word. Now we're going to look at verse 15 again to see what meditation is. Look at verse 15 with me. And what verse 15 is explaining what happened with the good soil. So we're learning from the good soil here, verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Meditation is holding fast to the word in an honest and good heart. And I think we see two keys here in this verse about what is meditation. The first is holding fast to the word. It's the same idea of holding tightly and not letting go. Holding on to the word like you're holding on to it for dear life. There's effort behind this. There's determination behind this. This holding fast is the idea of a little child holding tight to their mother's leg or neck when they are scared. Holding fast to the word. This is beyond casual Bible reading. It is hearing something in the word and knowing that we need that truth or wisdom right now and we want to hold it. It's grasping to it for life. It is holding it close and not letting it go. However, there's something else that's needed with meditation. It's not just holding fast. We also need the second key that's in this verse, which is having an honest and good heart. The parable of sower is all about the word of God and the heart. Each of the soils here, but they interacted very differently. They have different hearts. The good soil is the one who held it fast in an honest and good heart. Honesty here is not talking about do you speak truthfully. This is having a heart that is being honest with yourself. Having the ability to take God's word, look at it and say, is that me? Do I look like this? And letting it change me. And it won't happen if we're not truthful with ourselves. The honest and good heart will compare ourselves with the Word of God. This honest reflection will look at our motivation and our attitudes as it compares with Scripture. This honest reflection of ourselves will cause us to grow and change to look like what God's Word calls us to look like. This is meditation. We've learned here in this verse, verse 15, that it is hearing the Word and holding on to it, not just letting it float off into the ether in one ear, out the other. That's not meditation. We need to hold on to it, and we need to have an honest heart, a heart that is willing to compare ourselves with what it says in God's Word and reflect on it. Now, in verses 16 and 8 through 18, we're actually going to see more about meditation. It's going to talk more about this idea of reflection. And what we're going to see here is that meditation is letting the word illuminate the hidden parts of our hearts. Look with me, read with me verses 16 through 18. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Jesus explains how foolish it would be to light a lamp and cover it. No one does that. You take a lamp and you put it up on a stand. You elevate it so that it can light up the entire room so you can see everything. However, when we read the word and don't meditate on it, we've lit the lamp and immediately covered it. We're not allowing it to do the work that it is to do. Reading the Bible is lighting the lamp. We need to allow it to illuminate our hearts. This is what I think we see in verse 17 again, where it's talking about letting the hidden and secret things become manifest or apparent or seen. And here's an example of what that could look like for you. Maybe you read from the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." One way to read that is say, man, that's a really great truth, Jesus. Good job. I agree with this. Another way would be to read it and say, I need to show this to so-and-so because they really need this. They struggle with this. But meditating is reading it and saying, I need this. I need this. It's asking myself, do I do this? Am I guilty of this? Do I practice my righteousness to be seen by others? Am I more concerned about what other people think than what God thinks? That is meditating on the Word. It is illuminating those dark parts of our heart. And when we do that, we will begin to change. We may notice that our motivations are not what they should be. We may see the hidden pride or selfishness that no one else knows about, no one else sees. We may see where our faith and trust are not as strong as they need to be, where fears are really hidden. And when we finally see those, we'll be motivated to change them, to reflect God's word, to pray, to ask for help. And I think this is what we see in the promise in verse 18. Look again at verse 18, where it says, "Take care how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, it will be taken away." When we are careful to hear, we will grow. God will make us prosper. But when we don't meditate, what we have will be taken away. Think about this for a moment. It's what happened to the rocky and the thorny soil. They had joy when they heard the word. They heard the same words that the good soil heard. They saw the amazing promises that God offered. But they didn't allow it to illuminate their heart, their motivations, and their struggles. And so when persecutions arose, they fell away, because the word had not taken root in their lives. When the temptations continued to surround them like weeds, the word was choked out because they had not allowed the word to show them where they are susceptible to Satan's temptations. They did not grow because they did not meditate. Meditation is the fertilizer that we can put on God's word, which will help it grow and bear fruit in our hearts. And this will only happen when we spend time thinking about God's word and comparing it. So far this morning, we've learned what meditation is and it is not. Meditation is not sitting still with an empty mind. Meditation is not simply reading the Bible or hearing a sermon. This is not meditation right now. Meditation is holding fast to the word in an honest and good heart. Meditation is letting the word illuminate the hidden parts of your heart and your life. But now we're going to talk about how to do it. How to meditate. We're going to spend the rest of the lesson this morning doing this. This will be extremely practical for your life. How to meditate. To begin, this is not a one-size-fits-all plan. These are not rules that we must follow. There is no hard rule of what to do or how to do. Meditation is going to look different for all of us. For some, meditating, they may have the time to sit down for an hour or more to just sit still and think about God's word and what that is in my life and maybe what I need to change, how that connects with me. Some may have that. Some of you may not. Many of you, I'm sure, maybe don't have that kind of time. And so what it may be for you is it may be the 15 minutes as you're driving to work. Maybe it's the 5 minutes that you get for the shower. For me, one of the times that I actually meditate is when I'm walking our dog Barnabas. All of us will meditate differently. But here are some ideas to help you get started. Number one, beware of distractions. I want you to read the verse here, Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Notice, fix my eyes. It's the idea of focusing on something. It's the idea that when you're teaching a child to catch the ball, what do you tell them? You say, keep your eye on the ball. Don't look over here. Don't look over here, because what's going to happen? It's going to hit you in the face. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep focused. Don't get distracted. And the psalmist here says, I'm meditating on your precepts. I'm keeping my eye on your ways. I'm not allowing myself to get distracted. There are so many things that distract us in our world today. Probably most of our biggest distraction is that little contraption that we all hold very close and very dear, the phone. It buzzes, it dings, it makes noises. For what purpose? To get us to look at it again and again, all day, every day. However, meditating on God's word cannot happen when we are distracted. Maybe this means on your drive to work, maybe you don't listen to the podcast or to music, but you use that time to meditate on something. Maybe when you find that you have that 10-minute break, you don't pull out and scroll through Facebook or Instagram, but you say, I want to use that time for meditation. Maybe we leave the phone in the other room, turn it on silent, because I need to focus right now. I need to keep my eyes fixed. Keep my eye on the ball. Satan wants to distract us. He wants to fill up all of your time so that you will not meditate on God's word. Don't let him win the battle for your heart. Beware of distractions when you meditate. Number two. Be specific. Now we need to choose what to meditate on. This can be from anywhere. Maybe it's something from your daily Bible reading that you read and you said, wow, I needed that right now. Maybe it's a plan that you've kind of put together, or you've seen someone put together and say, okay, I'm going to meditate on this day, this the next day. However, here's just a help. Don't be too broad. I noticed this actually. It was when I was thinking about this sermon. I read Proverbs chapter 12. You can't tell yourself you're going to meditate on Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 has, 25 verses. It's about 25 different topics. You can't meditate on the whole chapter. And when I realized that, I said, okay, this isn't going to work. Okay, what do I do? And I picked two verses. And I meditated on those. What does this mean for me? How can this help me? So instead of saying, I'm going to meditate on the entire Sermon on the Mount, maybe you pick a small section. Meditate on that. Maybe you take, instead of a whole chapter, you take a parable of Jesus. Or maybe you take a psalm, one psalm, and meditate on that. Focus on that. You can choose to meditate on anything. Okay. Caveat. From Scripture. You can choose to meditate on anything from Scripture. But be specific with it. That's my encouragement for you there. By the way, choose something. If you don't choose what to meditate, you won't do it. Choose something to meditate on. Number three, think it out. This is the primary part of meditating on Scripture. This is what you're going to probably think through mostly. It's think about the Word. The way this looks like for me is I pick something that I'm going to meditate on, and then I ask questions. questions. I ask questions about the text. I ask myself questions. And this is for, there's kind of a twofold purpose here. The first set of questions that I ask are to help me to understand the text. Understanding the word is vitally important. If I don't truly understand it, then it's not God's truth, and it won't help me. So I need to understand what it is I read and want to meditate on. To do that, I ask these two questions. What does this mean? What does this verse right here mean? What is Jesus trying to tell me? What is God trying to tell me? What is Hosea trying to tell me? What does this mean? The second one that helps me to further my understanding is, how would I explain it to someone else? I often think of people within the congregation that we worship with. I often think of my girls. How would I explain it to her? That helps me to understand God's word. And then once I understand it, now it's time to say, how does this apply to my life? And I ask these questions, application questions. Am I doing this or not doing this? Why or why not? I see this truth here. Am I doing it? Why? Why not? Am I living like I believe this truth? Why or why not? Or maybe, why do I give excuses to not do these things? The why or why not questions are important because that's when we will dig into those dark parts of our hearts that we may have. We will see our true motivations. We may see our pride. We may see our fear. By the way, this part is difficult. This is where it can hurt. This is where meditation can hurt. And take your time. Take your time on it. What I mean by that is this may be something you have to meditate on for several days because you're just needing to kind of slowly chew on this. I like to describe meditation as this way. It is the idea of marinating for cooking. Marinating, when you do that, you have to allow the meat to sit in the marinade. It has to have time to sit in it. Well, meditating is the same thing. You need to give your heart time in contact with the Word of God in order to let it seep in and do its work. Think it out. Number four, it goes along with think it out, it is write it out. I think writing can be a huge help to meditation. There's a couple thoughts that I have with this. The first one is, if you're wanting to meditate on a specific scripture, maybe a few verses, write the verses out. That will help you to understand it. You have to slow down. You have to think, what is this word? And you will begin to understand it easier and have more clarity about the verses. So write the verses out. Another way that writing can be used is actually to use your think it out ideas, but journal your thoughts. Maybe just answer the same questions, but write them down. The reason I say write it out, I think, is helpful is because it will actually help. It's been kind of proven that it helps you to find clarity with your own thoughts faster. I know for me, there are times if I'm just trying to just meditate without writing, my mind will be all over the place. It'll be a jumbled mess. Or I'll get distracted really easily. But when I'm writing it out, clarity automatically starts to kind of click in. I don't even know what the difference is from here to here, but there is something that starts to put those pieces together in a more clear way. So when you write it out, it may help you to find clarity in your meditation, and it will help you to stay focused. Number five, pray it out. This is the final help for meditation that I'll share with you this morning, and it's to pray. Prayer will connect your thinking about God's word with the power of God. I want you to hear this. The Lord wants you to understand His word. He wants you to understand His Word. He wants you to grow and bear fruit in His Word. Therefore, He will answer your prayer to Him about your meditation. He will help you in that. It is according to His will. So when you're meditating, pray to God for help. Pray to God for strength and courage to maybe make the changes that you see you need to make in your life. Pray that God helps you to find those ways of escape of the temptations that are surrounding you. Pray for greater understanding of God's amazing truths. Pray for greater faith. Let prayer empower your meditation. So how to meditate? We need to beware of the distractions that are around us. Keep them to a minimal, if not completely. We need to be specific about what we decide to meditate on. We need to then think it out. We need to write it out. We need to pray it out. And when we do that, we will grow in our spiritual walk. To close out, I want to show you some scriptures that show the benefits of meditating on God's Word. First one is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I see it just fine. Can you all see it? No? I've got some head nods. Okay. Joshua 1, verse 8. If you can't see it, go ahead and open your Bible. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua says here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When we meditate on God's word, then we will be careful to obey it. All of you want to obey God's word. I know it, because there's no other reason you would be here this morning. You want to obey God's word, but I know you struggle. I struggle. Meditation will make us careful to do according to what is written. It will make us careful to obey. The other thing I think we see in this verse is actually the very end of the verse, which is we will have success. We will prosper when we meditate. I'm not talking about physical prosperity. That could happen, but that's not what I'm talking about here. That's not what we're talking about. This was prosper in your spiritual growth. You will prosper. You will grow. You will bear fruit when you meditate on God's word. And the last verse I'll share with you this morning, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Read it with me. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. When we meditate, we will grow. We will bear fruit like we are a tree that is planted by streams of water. We will grow. Our leaves will not wither. But again, in these verses, we see the same from Joshua 1. When we meditate on God's word, we will prosper. We will grow. May the Lord bless you as you read His word. May the Lord bless you as you strive to hold fast to His word with a good and honest heart. May His word illuminate those dark parts of your heart so that you can change your life. May you not feel stagnant anymore. May you not think, oh, the Bible, it doesn't really help me anymore. May you grow and bear fruit as you meditate on his word. Again, I want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your attention. So good to speak with you. I appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity to speak this morning. At this time, I'm going to pass it over to Ricky.